take care of something really quick. After I introduced the Cope family, I sat down. Donnell leaned over to me in the most loving and kind and understanding way. He said, his name is Leland, and you called him Harrison. And so I only know it's Harrison and Tiffany, and then Leland, Marley, and Magnolia. And they did a great job, didn't they? Yeah, and thank you, Donnell, for helping me out there. And, you know, a few years ago, and I really remember it being maybe late spring, but really maybe early summertime, I was in Hobby Lobby. Now, don't think any less of me for being in Hobby Lobby. I went there to get some man stuff. They have man stuff in Hobby Lobby. I went to get something at Hobby Lobby, and I happened to turn and walk down this aisle, and this is what I remember thinking. Why do they still have their Christmas stuff out? You know, it's been a long time since Christmas. And then in a moment, I realized they had not left their Christmas stuff out from the last Christmas. They were putting their Christmas stuff out for the next Christmas that was coming. And then my next thought was, well, why are they putting their Christmas stuff out so early? And I just couldn't really imagine it. And it seems like Christmas just comes earlier and earlier every year, and we're less and less prepared for it every year. And that's one reason I'm thankful for Advent. It's this time of preparation, a time of reflection, the time to prepare our hearts and spirits for the celebration of Christmas, Christ's first coming, and think about his second coming. And so these four Sundays leading up to Christmas Day of Advent, I want to preach an Advent series called So This Is Christmas. And we want to look at some of the scriptures behind the Christmas story. Some are familiar, some are not quite so familiar, and try to understand really what Christmas is all about. And so our goal is that during this Advent season that we'll all be prepared for the celebration of Christmas when it comes, and we'll all understand Christmas a little bit better, especially as Christians. So I thought I'd just begin with the basics. Why is it called Christmas? And we know there's quite a bit of controversy these days on whether or not we should say Merry Christmas or just wish somebody Happy Holidays. But have you ever really wondered where Christmas got its name and why we call it Christmas? Well, Christmas comes from the combination of two words. And the two words are Christ and Mass equals Christmas. And so really, if you have a little bit of Catholic background, some of you do and many of you don't, Mass is the celebration within the Catholic Church. It's a service of where the Eucharist or the Lord's Supper is taken. And so Christmas, it really was the celebration, the Mass celebrating the birth of Christ where the Lord's Supper was taken. And so it dates all the way back into the church history to the mid-4th century. But it really wasn't until about 1038 that the old English term, Christus Massae, Christmas, became a word, and it was first called Christmas. Well, here's a couple of fun facts about Christmas. You know, you're never going to find the word Christmas in your Bible, so I'll save you a little bit of trouble from trying to look for it and find it there. You know, sometimes people get a little uptight when they see this abbreviation for Christmas with a big X in Mass. I don't know, maybe it freaks you out, or maybe it kind of upsets you. Well, I want to put you at ease just a little bit, okay? Because the Christ in Greek is Christos. The very first letter of Christos is the letter Chi, which is X for us. And it became an abbreviation for Christ. And it became an abbreviation to use in Christmas with Xmas. However, you never pronounce it Xmas. Never. It's an abbreviation. You always pronounce it Christmas. And so I even use it a lot in my own writing, and even for Christians, I use the X there. So I don't think it really is. It was ever, in the beginning, it was not an attempt to take Christ out of Christmas. But if it offends you, don't let it bother you, and don't use it, and be sensitive to those who are offended about it if you use it a lot. But here's a second question. Not only why do we call it Christmas, but here's the second question. When was Jesus really born? And why do we celebrate his birthday on December the 25th? I think every one of us, I think it's safe to assume everybody in this room knows the date of your birthday. You know, I have a birth certificate. I have a driver's license. I have a passport. I've got other documents. I've got no question that I was born on March the 20th, 1958. And I just our date of birth just really is stamped on us. But I don't even remember not knowing my birthday, tell you the truth. But what about Jesus' birthday? Do we know when Jesus was born? And the answer to that question is, well, yes and no. And let me tell you what I mean by that. No one knows exactly when Jesus was born. And the reason we don't know exactly when he was born is because the Bible doesn't give us the exact date. We don't know the exact day, and we don't know the exact year in which Jesus was born. So then comes the question, well, so why do we celebrate Christmas, Jesus' birthday, on December the 25th? And really, what year was Jesus born? Was he born in 0 A.D.? Was he born 1 A.D.? Well, to answer the question, you have to have a little bit of history of our calendar. And so I'm going to try to go as quickly and as interesting as I can be. I'll try to entertain you a little bit. But maybe in the next few minutes you'll learn something and you'll leave at least a little bit smarter than when you came in. All right. Well, you need to know the history of our calendar. And so the history of our calendar goes back for centuries to where there was the development of what was called the Julian calendar. It was a solar calendar. Up to that time, the calendars had been lunar calendars. But Julius Caesar established a calendar, and somewhere around AUC 709, I'll tell you about that in a moment. AUC 709, which is the equivalent of 45 BC. AUC was really the event that was marking all time up until the development of the Julian calendar. So what was that event, AUC? I should have you raise your hand if you know it, but I'll tell you what it was. The most significant thing that anyone had ever known that had happened in world history was the establishment of the city of Rome. And so the beginning of Rome, Rome's birthday was the marking of all time up until Julius Caesar established the Julian calendar. Well, really, it goes a little further, but it's in around AUC 709. So about 709, 709 years after establishment of Rome. Our division of time between BC and AD, our dating system was introduced and invented by a Catholic monk by the name of Dionysius the Humble. And his dating system began with the first year of Jesus' life. He thought that the most important thing that had ever happened in human history that should mark the dating of all time was not the founding of the city of Rome, but the birth of Jesus Christ. And so he established in the division of years, and he began not with 0 A.D., but with 1 A.D. And so there's no 0, but there's a 1, which was the equivalent of AUC Rome, the year 754. You still with me? Okay, so it's changed from AUC 754 now becomes AD 1. AD Anno Domini, in the year of our Lord. BC, before Christ, or really it's before the birth of Christ, to be accurate, because Christ has always been, but it was the birth of Christ. You also see now, you'll see it now used in very common, you see it all the time, BCE, meaning before the common era, and that's just an attempt to try to, you know, take the religious and take Christ out of the dating system, but you really can't do that. And so you have AD and BC. Well, that's all fine and good, but unfortunately, the Julian calendar was off just a little bit. Now you wonder, is it a big deal that your calendar's off a little bit? The Julian calendar was off just a little bit. It was a little bit longer by 11 minutes and 14 seconds. Now you think, well, 11 minutes, 14 seconds, what's the big deal? It's a big deal. You get enough 11 minutes and 14 seconds, you got the whole thing screwed up. So what happened then was Pope Gregory the 13th. You see a theme. There's monks. There's popes. They're very involved in the setting of the calendar. Pope Gregory the 13th introduced the Gregorian calendar, which is the calendar that most of the Western world, all of us, majority of the world, follows today. He introduced the Gregorian calendar in 1582 to fix the problem. And so we have the Gregorian calendar based on 365 days. There's a leap year in there. And so it's kind of a system that keeps all the months lined up with the seasons of the year. It kind of works pretty good. This is what you need to know, that our calendar is based on the birth of Christ. And it's interesting that something significantly powerful, something significantly powerful about the birth of Christ, it still marks our dates and our times. And whether people realize it or not, and whether they want to or not, every time they write down a date, they're being impacted by the most significant event that has ever happened in human history, the birth of Jesus Christ. However, we still have a little bit of a problem. Dionysius, he was off a little bit. And now he was off by at least 4 years because he miscalculated the death of Herod the Great. And so he was off 4 years. And so beginning in 1 AD is really, well, it's going to be 4 BC. So let me tell you, just give you an example. It's really 2021 and not 2025. Wow, I needed these 4 years back, to tell you the truth. And so he was off just a little bit, and that's why you're going to see that when many talk about the birth of Christ, they're not talking about 1 AD. They're talking about he was born somewhere earlier than that, usually 4, somewhere the 6 BC. So the Bible does give us some evidence, though, of regarding the time and the year of Christ's birth. Specifically, Matthew and Luke give us details about the birth of Christ that help us. There are really two markers. One of those, we know that Jesus was born during the reign of Caesar Augustus, Luke chapter 2, verse 1. And we happen to know from historical records that Caesar Augustus reigned for about 58 years, from 44 BC to AD 14. And so we know it was in that time span that Jesus reigned. The other marker is that we also know that Herod was still alive when Jesus was born. In Matthew chapter 2, verse 1, the wise men are coming. It was during those days while Herod was still king. And you know, when the wise men came with the news that this king had been born, he was quite upset, so he issued that decree that all baby boys in Bethlehem should be killed 2 years and younger. And so that gives us a little bit of a thing of knowing that, well, Herod died in around somewhere between March and in either March 12th to April 11, 4 BC. That date's pretty well narrowed down to a month. He died in 4 BC. He's still alive when Christ is born. You throw in a two-year window, so sometime between 6 and 4 B.C., we can be confident that was the year in which Jesus was born. That's the year. What about the day? Was Jesus really born on December the 25th? You know, the majority of the world in a few weeks is going to be celebrating Christmas on December the 25th. Some others, Christians in the world, in the East, and the Orthodox Church influence, will celebrate Christmas, a week or two later on January 6th and January the 7th. But the most of the world celebrates this time of the year, December the 25th, as the date of Jesus' birth. What we do know is a little evidence of the seasons in which Jesus was born, because we're told in the story that there were shepherds out in the field tending their flocks by night, which suggests that it probably wasn't winter time. Even though it's a mild temperate climate, it could possibly be during the winter time, but usually shepherds aren't out in the field in December, for example, in Israel. They are out in the fields in the spring and in the fall. And so you might say, well, sometime maybe between in the springtime of 6 to 4 B.C. or in the fall of 6 to 4 B.C. But what's interesting is for the first 200 years of the church, Jesus' birth wasn't even celebrated. It really wasn't even until about the 4th century, around 350 A.D., that Pope Julius I declared December the 25th as the official date of Christ's birth. And so thank you, Pope Julius. Why did he pick December the 25th? Well, there's some historical evidence, and many suggest it was because it was during the winter times and around this in December in the Roman Empire that there was a pagan holiday on that date, and the church and the Pope wanted to replace that pagan holiday with a Christian celebration. I don't really have a problem with that. We all do it. Matter of fact, there's quite a tension with Christmas anyway. It is the only holiday that is distinctly sacred and Christian and as indispensable as secular and commercial. It has to be both anymore. And you can lament the fact that it is, but it just is. And that's why you might say everybody loves Christmas, believers and unbelievers. And I've just kind of settled myself into a place where I just decided, I just love everything about Christmas. I'm just going to love it all. And within reason, I love it all. And I wasn't too happy the past week or so because my favorite radio station, when I really need to kind of just have a little me time, I listen in the car to, I'll tell you what it is. It's KTSO. It's 100.9. It's the best music that has ever been played or ever. It's in the 70s. And they started playing Christmas music all the time. And I don't like that well. They can, they don't need to be doing that. But I'm going to talk about it. But, he makes, right in the dead of winter, December the 25th, I think it was strategic and symbolic. It's wintertime when the days are shorter and people long for the light in the midst of what seems to be unending darkness. And the pagans are celebrating and yearning for the sun's return, S-U-N, from the winter solstice to the longest night of the year to the light and the sun coming back to where you come now as a Christian. And we long for the sun, S-O-N, the sun's return, where hope comes in the darkness. And so I think it's quite an irony, it's a great irony, that Christmas is the event that we use to mark time into years, and it's almost undateable. But yet it's the time that we use. Now let me tell you, I hope that doesn't come as any alarm to you. It really shouldn't upset your faith. We celebrate really the anniversary of the birth of Christ. There's no reason that we need to know the exact day and year when Jesus was born. It is vitally important that you know that he was born. and the historical fact of Jesus Christ being born at a place at a certain time is indispensable to our faith. And there's two key biblical texts that relate to this. One is found in the Gospel of Luke, where it says in Luke chapter 2, verse 11, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." Now, usually when I'm reading that verse and speaking about it in the Christmas service at Christmas time, I lean on the second half of that verse, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. But the first part of that verse is important. It sets up the fact that there was Christ who was born this day. And it sets him in time. He was born in the city of David, Bethlehem, a place. And it sets the birth of the Savior as Christ the Lord right in time, space, and a specific place. He was born. And then I want you to open your Bibles to the little book of Galatians. In Galatians chapter 4, which many of us don't think about as a Christmas text, but I think it's a text that gives us hope and for understanding Christmas, where we read in verse 4, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman and born under the law." I can't overemphasize the immense importance of that one sentence. He sent him in verse 5 for a purpose, to redeem those who are under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons and daughters, it could be, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, "Abba, Father." So you're no longer a slave, but you're a son, you're a child of God. And if you're a son, then you are an heir through God. Now, we all know that those first few words of Galatians 4:4, it does tell us that Christ was born. And it tells us when He was born. He doesn't tell us in a time and a space date marker, but He says when the fullness of time had come. And so when was Christ born? He was born in the fullness of time, which means complete. It means fully developed. It means He was born at the perfect, prepared time. Christ was born at a set time that was the right time by the choosing of God. And so in the few minutes I've got left, let me just deal with one more question. Well, what does it mean that Jesus was born in the fullness of time? What does it mean for us? Well, this is what it means, first of all, that God really is in control. He really is in control, and His timing is perfect. Now, if you want to know what Christmas really means, it means that God is in control. And I want to remind you that it means His timing is perfect, not just for the birth of His Son, but in everything that happens in your life, in my life. So it says in verse 4, when the fullness of time had come. So why then? You close your Old Testament and you flip over to Matthew, you might not realize it, but 4 centuries of time had passed. It's the intertestamental period. It's 400 years of silence from the prophecies that had been given to where God spoke no word for 400 years until the cry of the baby broke the silence of the night. Why did He send Him then? Why didn't He send His Son after Adam and Eve had sinned in the garden? That would have been a great time to send Him and just take care of it right at the beginning. Or why didn't He do something before the flood, and so Noah wouldn't have to build the ark? And why didn't He do that? Well, I don't know. Why didn't He send Him earlier? Here's the answer. I don't know. But I do know this. He's God. He's God, and His timing is perfect. He sent him at the fullness of time. Now, what we do know about the time that Jesus was born, that God is in control of world events. And there were several things that had come together at the time in which Christ was born. One is, it's called the Pax Romana, which means the peace of Rome. Rome is the dominant one world government power at Christ's birth. They appeared on the scene, conquering the Greeks. And so they had bludgeoned the whole world into submission. So there were no wars that were going on in the world. There was one world government. Oh, by the way, there'll be one world government when Christ returns the second time. And there'll be a one world ruler, not Caesar, but the Antichrist. You begin to see the parallels between the first advent and the second advent. On top of that, not only was there this Pax Romana, the peace of Rome, but there was this system of travel, the Roman roads. And you had this connected highway system of Rome. And Rome was building roads so their armies and military could be to the farthest reaches of their empire that was growing and growing. Literally, all roads led to Rome. But as they're building these roads for their military, they learned that these roads could also be used for commerce and for business and commercial uses. And guess what else they could be used for? For the apostles and for the disciples and for missionaries and followers of Christ to travel with ease, taking the good news of the gospel all over the Roman Empire. You know, last month we were traveling in some of those places and walking in the footsteps of the Apostle Paul in the old Roman world there in Greece. And we walked along the Via Ignatia. You can still see it today. Rome knew how to build roads. We could learn a little bit about that from them. But it made travel easy. And people were traveling. As people were traveling, the gospels being spread. Another thing was happening. There was this common universal language. And while Rome was really the dominant power, Latin wasn't the common language. The common language had already been established by Alexander the Great, who was a Greek. And so the Greek language was the language of commerce and business, much like the English language is today. And so there was this common Greek language that became the language of revelation in which the gospel and the New Testament would be written. It is a wonderful language to communicate the message of the good news of the gospel. And so you have this language that people could speak. And on top of that, there was a deep spiritual void and vacuum in the world. There was this great deep spiritual hunger, and the world was plunged into darkness, and they were ready for light to come. They needed a little good news because the pagans were coming so dissatisfied with their idols that could never do anything, and the Jews were longing for the Messiah to come. It was the fullness of time. And so we read in Luke chapter 2, verse 1, in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered, that they should be taxed. He's taking a census. And so Caesar calls for this census. And because he is in Rome as the Caesar with one government, he can reach all the way down into Israel and all the known world, tell people to go back to their cities of birth. That's why Jesus was born in Bethlehem and not Nazareth. Well, that's not really why. He was born in Bethlehem and not Nazareth because it was prophesied that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. This just made it possible for the fulfillment of that prophecy. And so God is in control. You can trust His timing in your life. And so let me just tell you, if you're afraid somehow the world is out of control, don't be afraid. If you're impatient that somehow God is not doing anything and not working in your life and you can't see it and you don't understand it, if sometimes you get discouraged, why doesn't God do something and why hasn't Christ come back yet? Let me just remind you, He's in control. His timing is perfect. Not only for the birth of His Son, but for everything that happens in our lives. So let me just wrap up with one more quick point. Not only is God really in control and his timing is perfect, but secondly, God really does care. And he sent his son. And so it says, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman under the law. That's the deity of the pre-existent Christ. And God sent him on a rescue mission that he voluntarily accepted. And that's why John would record in his gospel the words of Jesus, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And you lay that down alongside Philippians chapter 2 and read about where it says of Christ that though he was God, he didn't think equality with God was something to cling to. Instead, he gave up these divine privileges that were his. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. That is the miracle of Christmas we call the incarnation. God in the flesh. And God wrapped his love up into flesh and blood and sent him to us. Why? Well, verse 5 tells us why. To redeem those who are under the law. And that we might receive adoption. And being adopted, we might become heirs. Jesus left heaven and came to earth so that you and I could become children of God. And one day we could leave earth and go to God in heaven. He was born of a man, of humans, so we could be born of God. And he died on the cross for our sins so you and I could have eternal life. He was born in the fullness of time. And the only other question that remains is he born in your life and heart today? I'm going to ask you to bow with me as we pray. Father, we thank you for Christmas, which literally means we thank you for the gift of your Son, the miracle of the incarnation, God with us in human flesh. And Father, I pray you prepare our hearts to receive him. And we thank you for the hope that we have, that you really are in control. And there are some here today that it may seem that you've forgotten them, or they're impatient, or they just really don't know what to do. Would you let them know you care about them and you love them? And we change lives today, and it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.